Blog Talk Radio.
Ah!
Wow, was that? Well, we're speechless. What do you guys think? This is Scubanarama. I am blown away. And this is the voice that you heard, my friends, is that of my own cousin, Candy Sosa, down there in California. Girl, with a spellbound after sunset city is coming out. You guys, I've been working all day. I don't even know if they've been helping me. They've been doing all sorts of things here at the office. We're under construction, remodeling. We also have we have a German Shepherd, you guys, at the office. Wait till you wish. So with everything that's going on, we have to come on the air and we have to bring you the best of California right now. The Spellbound After Sunset. Paul Thomas and Bobby Moon, they formed the band. This city is coming up, you guys. I'm not even sure. Wait till I talk to them and find out exactly what's going on. This group was formed in the 1990s. Paul and Bobby, these guys are amazing. They're a hybrid of blue-eyed soul, AOR pop, Latino dance, and of course, California sound. Hear all of that and more on the 11-tracker that is After Sunset, which features two new singers, Jenny G and Anna Moore. I heard them both. Wait till you guys hear them too. Along with my cousin, Candy Sosa. This material is all new, penned by Thomas and Moon. Save for the cover of the Ohio Players, Heaven Must Be Like This. Wait till you hear this music tonight, you guys. And of course, like always, there's awesome conversation. We talk about life. We talk about politics. We talk about whatever our guests want to talk about, because that is what we do. We are Block Talk Radio, Cubanarama. Good evening, guys. How are you doing?
Hi, Marta. Hey, Marta. Good evening.
Good evening. I am so excited.
Yes.
This CD is like, I feel like it's you guys have blown me away. My team here is like, everybody was so excited listening to the music and dancing in the office. And, you know, I'm like, okay, guys, get to work. Put some nails back on the wood here. Let's get some painting done. And because really it was amazing. And Candy Sosa, you've got some amazing singers this time too. I want to hear all about it. But first of all, tell me, when is it coming out? Because I know people want to know. And I was trying to find it everywhere. And somehow that is the only info I am missing. So when is the CD coming out?
The CD will be released October 1st. This Friday.
Wow.
This Friday.
Oh.
Yes, and, you know how the discs are not that popular? It could be streamed everywhere, the digital form, everywhere,
yes.
All the internet stations. But the CD can be bought on our website. It's spellboundband.com. There's other places that sell it, of course, but we prefer that they just come to our website and check it out and get it from us.
Absolutely. Oh, that is awesome. Okay, so my heart is just beating. I'm listening to this music. I'm like, this is a whole totally different you. This is a whole totally different Spellbound. What propelled you guys? This is like a totally different, I don't know, it's the same you, but 100 times better. How can you guys get better? How can you get better?
Oh, like you said, it is the same style, the fusion of soul, funk, and Latin that we write ourselves. But I guess it got better because we got better at using our studio. I think that's the number one thing. There's a lot of technology and things happening, exciting the field of recording. And, you know, we got involved more in the recording process and updating the equipment, et cetera. And I think that's, you know, the foremost probably thing that reason that we got better is the quality of the music.
Yes.
And of course we got better players as well, like you said, a new singers, a brand new cast on this new album, doing the same thing we've done but with a tighter cast of better musicians and more
fun,
I guess.
Yeah, that is really, really cool. You know, you can tell you guys are always amazing. The music is always, it takes you to a different level. Very trippy, very, you know, psychedelic in some areas. But this one, you know, again, like I said, we were listening to it and I was like, there is something. What is it? Some of us were like, is it the production? Is it so? What did you guys? What was the process of doing this CD that you guys decided? Okay, this is how we're gonna do it, and this is the end result. I mean, how? Give us some tips, because lately I've been meeting some musicians here in Minnesota, and I tell you, some of these guys are amazing. I met a guy the other day that sounds exactly like, and you guys are going to freak out, he sounds like Prince and Michael Jackson put together. But I feel like if he had what you guys have, this guy could be just doing the same thing you're doing. So give us some tips for really great musicians like yourself that don't have the skills, or maybe they don't know exactly what is it that they can do to make a CD exceptional.
Yeah, I would say this CD, well, the main thing is you put in the time. And we put in a lot of time. We spent over 3 years recording and mixing this CD. So there's a fair amount of time to be spending on one album. And unfortunately, there were even some more tracks that we ended up not being able to put on the album for various reasons. And on After Sunset, because of the pandemic and all that, there was we didn't have a choice in a lot of cases. And this was very different, this album, because aside from Bobby and myself, we had to do all the recording by email, by sending files back and forth.
Wow.
And having people record that way, being able to talk to them on the phone or text. And so it was really difficult and tedious and time-consuming having to do it that way. But maybe in some ways, Bobby and I were discussing it, maybe it came out better for that reason, all the struggles
right.
involved. But it was definitely a tedious and difficult album. But I would just say for anyone out there, take the time to just do the best you can with what you've got. And it took a long time, but we're really happy with how it finally came out. So
wow.
I think it's just a matter of more a matter of putting the time and the effort. It pays off. It really does.
Really, just being passionate about having a good product. And so not everyone was in the studio at the same time, is what you're saying. Some
right.
tracks were sent via the computer?
Yes, exactly. And
wow.
so we've done that before with people that are too far away to record with us. We've been able to do that, and we've had some success. But in this particular album, we had to almost do that the entire process.
But fortunately, for the song that you just played, I work along with Candy Sosa. She did come into the studio, and we did it the old school way, face-to-face. So that was a blessing.
Yeah. Tell me about that song. That song was, you know, the whole CD is amazing. And you guys have to listen to some of the ladies that they've got on other songs are really, really cool. But I chose this song because Candy has been on our show before. I don't think we have any of her interviews up since we are updating our website and all. So I wanted to feature her again as one of our older, you know, guests that have been on the show. And plus, she plays with you guys. She's done Bobby McGee. She's got an amazing voice. So, you know, I suggest you guys check her out, too. And you guys have produced a lot of our music. So tell me about that song, I Work Alone, because I heard a little bit of Spanish. For the listeners who don't speak Spanish, tell us a little bit about that song. What was that about? Because it's got a message that it touched me.
Yeah, we had Candy definitely in mind for that song. We had her definitely particularly in mind for that song, that she would be the right person to deliver it. We've known Candy for over 15 years now. She's been the longest lasting member of Spellbound, or charter member of Spellbound. We think of her as a member, that besides Bobby and myself. She's an amazing singer. She's one of the best singers around LA that you can find. We started off with Candy way back in, like, I don't know, 2002, 2003. It's been over 15 years. We met her on a radio interview, and we just really hit it off. And that particular song, we decided on this album and most of the songs not to fall back on our retro sound. We sort of had a retro 70s, 60s sound. And we decided on this album, we're going to think forward a little more and try to push into the future rather than reach into the past for a retro type sound. So on this song in particular, I told Candy, let's not fall back on like a disco beat or whatever like we could. Let's push it forward and do something new. And so we all had that in mind, that we were going to do something that was more futuristic and more new. And so she did an amazing vocal take. She came up with that rap.
Did.
There's a rap in Spanish at the
wow.
end. And she's just soaring. I mean, that's really Candy at her best. And so
wow.
the song really took off. With her involved, it became its own thing. And the message, I work alone. I know Candy's dealt with that issue. Bobby and I both have. Sometimes you feel like you against the world. And so it's
wow.
one of those songs where you can do it by yourself. I work alone. You can still make it work.
Especially if you have a full, like a focal goal or like something that you want to, you know, convey, that's your thing and that you have to work for it, even if you have to stand alone, you know, that's the cost that it takes.
You can do it.
As you know, because you've done that.
Yeah.
You know, often this is a really good topic because lately, if you guys look anywhere on YouTube, you always see people trying or social media. You see people trying to do their thing. Everyone in the world wants to do something and express themselves. And oftentimes we think that we need, you know, we need expensive equipment, or we need expensive clothes, or an expensive car, or an expensive house, or an expensive stereo, whatever it is that you're working with. You know, maybe you're doing golf and you need expensive golf clubs. But I would say that the beauty of going at it alone and learning and just experiencing and like you guys have done the process, you've done the work, you've laid a solid foundation for music. It's a stepping stone, and you can see in an artist who have either the voice or have different projects that they work on, like you, or whether it's a project or a musical project or a documentary, it's always better and better and better, I feel, when you do some of the thinking, if not a lot of the thinking, alone or with people that think like you. Because when you spread yourself too thin, this song just spoke to me, and I think it should speak to the world, for people not to be so dependent on other people or dependent on certain drugs to make them feel good, like depression drugs, because they have to do things by themselves. I feel like in today's society, people don't know how to do things all by themselves. Do you see this in California? You guys live in California. I know that's a whole different world. Does it seem to you like this, the lyrics on the song is just amazing to me. It's like, this is what we're all living right now.
Right. Yeah, it definitely applies for this particular time too. And it was this time, it was particularly painful for me during the recording, because back in January, we were in the middle of the recording.
Pablo.
This is Pablo, yeah. And my mom passed away. She had a stroke, and out of the blue, I lost my mom, and it was such a shock that the mood changed from being ecstatic recording our CD to, oh my God, are we going to go on? And I got to thank Bobby and Candy, because of the two of them, they were there for me at that time, and they just pushed us, hey, let's keep Spellbound going, and God bless them.
Yeah.
We went and worked on that. We worked on that song, and it was so therapeutic to be able to do it. So it's you can hear in that song the amount of emotion that's involved.
Right. You know, and for me, it also, when I was listening to the rap in Spanish, it for some reason I saw my father's face working in agriculture to get out of Cuba legally. And there's something about that song. It's just very cathartic for me. I think for a lot of people, you might see a different... This is what I love about your music, you guys, is that you really do touch the hearts of people. And everyone can hear the music, and now they can really listen to the lyrics and see what does it mean to you, because 2020 was a particularly year for everyone around the world, but I would say particularly for people in America, because we're so used to being free and the beacon of light for all of the universe, really. This is where we come to have freedom and to express ourselves and to fly the flag high and to be proud of being an American. And for some reason, it seems that we have lost that passion. We have lost what it means to be a part of this society. And you guys bring it back with Music After Sunset, so that 2021 can be a better year. We can all go back to doing our barbecue, listen to music that isn't produced in a studio with, you know, these expensive producers that really take the money of the musicians. And sometimes they're not even musicians. They just put people together that don't even like each other, and they write stuff for them, and they just make shit up. You know, I absolutely love independent musicians like yourselves that have been at it for years and years and years. And through the music, you paint a picture and you paint a canvas of what it is to live in this society, in this era, in this time. And oftentimes, people can hear the California rhythms in your music with the Latino. Explain to us, because other people have heard you before in interviews, and they know why you have the sound that you have, why the hybrid. But people who are listening tonight, they may not have heard you before. Tell us a little bit about that fusion that you guys have that is a little universal.
Bobby? Yeah, we always loved world music, and you know, Los Angeles, as you had mentioned, and California is pretty much known among other things as a cultural melting pot. And there's negative and positive things to it. There's a lot of tension and, learning process with our neighbors and, you know, getting to know each other. But the good part of it is that once you are open and you get to accept the cultures and the different influences that come through Los Angeles, it's a really great place. And we absorb that. We both grew up in L.A. We're Los Angeles from L.A. and California. We're natives. So that's part of the sound that we soaked up in. We grew up in the beach area, and music was a huge part of both our lives. We were Metis music fans, and we still do music because primarily we are still music fans. If we didn't love music and discover new music, then, you know, who knows, maybe it would have tainted. But because of our love for music and being fans, we keep on going on, and we, you know, create the music that we try to emulate, that music that makes us feel like the way we do. We try to, you know, try to duplicate that. But also, just to mention, we were lucky enough when Spellbound first came into being in the late 90s, salsa and Latin music was a huge influence in LA at the time. In fact, historically, I think it was the biggest salsa revival in history.
Since the
70s.
At least, maybe the biggest.
Yeah, the biggest in LA. In the 70s, of course, it happened more in the East Coast. But in L.A., it was a huge, huge thing. People just caught on to salsa in late 90s.
Right.
We happened to be there. One of the best salsa players in L.A. at the time, Johnny Polanco, and his manager mentor, Albert Torres, who is basically responsible for L.A. and the salsa scene here in L.A., kind of became our mentors.
Yeah, they took a shine to us.
And Paul actually met him. Yeah. Paul, why don't you tell this quick story?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to ramble on.
No, he
loved us.
I love.
We asked them, can you help us with our music? Can you participate? Yeah. They said yes. They invited their musicians to participate in our songs. They
yes.
played on our records. They gave us distribution. They gave us our first record
yes.
label through the Salsa.
I would say, yeah, the Latin community was they were the first to pick up on Spellbound, and God bless them
wow.
because they pushed us, and despite the fact that I'm a white guy and Bobby's half Korean, we were accepted most. But we got so much encouragement from the Latin community, so. And we love Latin music, so we love putting that influence in our music. And Latin music, some of the best music in the world. So.
And a parallel to that, like the black African American community, the black people, the funk people, the soul, they really liked our music and they really supported us. And you know, at the, maybe other trends were bigger at the time, glam rock, big, you know, this or that, disco, 80s. But you know, funk music, soul. And Latin salsa were always there. They were big influences, and they were the people that kind of, you know, became our fans, our supporters, and we developed our musical taste through that whole process. You know, those the musicians, Johnny Polanco, those guys being in our band, then them teaching us about clave and candy coming into the scene. You know, teaching us about Cuban music. And we see her all the time in Havana Mania. You know, she plays her Cuban sets there, and just opening up, and we became better as musicians. And because knowing other music and through world music, as you know, with other people like Paul Simon and all these people that are famous, they incorporate world music into their palettes, you become richer.
You guys have amazing talent working with you. And as you mentioned, Candy Sosa, what a lot of you guys out there may not know is that Castro tried to use Candy Sosa when she was a little girl. She was so good. She was such a great singer that as a little girl, he wanted to send her to Russia. Mr. Man, did you know that? There's a documentary
Castro.
About it. I'll try to link it to the show
yeah.
so you guys can hear what an amazing singer she is. So this is the gal. This is the kind of caliber that is in the CD that you guys are listening tonight, along with other. Yes. Yes.
Oh, you know, I just wanted to give another plug for Candy. We're doing a we love your show. We're doing another radio interview next Saturday in LA and called Canto Tropical with a guy named Hector Resendez. And he calls Candy the queen of salsa. So that goes to show the level that
wow.
she's at.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah,
and I can't. Well, you guys, like, I want to hear that other interview because I've never, you know, it'd be interesting. I never listen to the radio. I don't listen to other interviews, but it would be fun to listen to yours. And as I was saying, along with other singers like Jenny G and Anna Moore, tell us a little bit about Anna G and Anna Moore, and then we'll listen to some music because I know everybody's waiting to have a little, maybe have a little shot of what their favorite drink and have a little dance or whatever they're doing at home. Okay.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us about Jenny G and Anna Moore, because I could not, their voices, I was like, holy cow, these ladies
really
sound like you know, just about pick any of the best musicians, lady musicians of the 70s in disco, and they are just right out there. I have never heard them before. Where did you find them? And give us the scoop.
Yeah, this is Pablo. Well, we were dealing with not being able to see a lot of people in person. And we just started scouting out like crazy to look for singers. And we just dug around and dug and dug. And we finally located Jenny G. And she's a session singer, and she specializes in doing that, and she specializes in doing things online. She's got her own studio. And we pitched the song to her, and so she loved it, and she's got an excellent voice. She was exactly what we were looking for that song. And so she did a fantastic job. She layered all those vocals by herself, sent it back to us by email, and then we put it into our computer and mixed it. And the same thing happened with Anna Moore. We had two songs that were sort of on the funk side, funk soul side, and we were looking for a particular sound. and we really took a while, and we finally came across Anna Mora. She's from the East Coast, and
wow.
She still was able to do it by email, and she seemed to really be on the same page as us musically and as far as the song, and she's just fantastic. She had so much soul, it just came out wonderful. So we're thrilled.
And she comes from that gospel background.
Yeah.
We kind of wanted that. And so she was perfect.
Yeah, they definitely delivered, even though we unfortunately never met them in person, but hopefully one day we
will.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh, that is so cool. Okay, well, tell us, what song do you want us to play now? Because I'm ready. I'm in the mood, and I'm going to go have Mr. Man bring me down a little Heineken. No, no ads here. I'm not suggesting you guys should have a Heineken, but if you like a Heineken, you can. That's what I... So we're going to go ahead and play some music and have a little beer and come back and talk a little more. What do you guys think?
Yeah. Sounds great.
I'm going to open my beer up right now. Anna Mora, let's try track number one, my one and only.
Yeah,
people know what Anna sounds like.
And Jenny is on number four.
And with Jenny, she's on song number four with Skies Are Blue. If you could play those two songs and while we have our beer, that'd be pretty cool.
Those are fun, yeah.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead. You know what we're going to do, guys? We've never done this on Cubanarama. We're going to play two songs back to back. That way you guys can do whatever you want to do. You know what I mean? Okay, play it, Mr. Man. Play it.
I'm
You guys are enjoying your drink. Mr. Man is having a Sierra Nevada Torpedo Extra IPA. I don't know. What are you guys drinking?
Cheers, my friend. We're
You're
yeah,
in coffee. Well,
you want to be awake.
I just opened a... I just had to relax. Oh, that's nice. I love coffee, but at night and after... I have to tell you, the one thing about my new dog is that she is amazing. Right now, she's sleeping in the kennel right next to me, and I have her all covered up. She's not making a peep, no sound, no nothing. You guys, I don't know if you remember when we used to do interviews before and I had a husky. My Lola, the husky, used to howl, and you could hear her trying to scratch, trying to get out the way. She was a monster. I am so glad. I'm so glad that this one, you know, it's taking a lot of training. We got to give her 3 walks a day, and she's a police dog, but it's a lot of fun, and I'm learning. We're learning a lot. But anyways, I have to relax. We've been sleeping very little. It's like having a baby. I never realized, for anybody out there, if you have a puppy, don't feel bad. I thought I was going crazy. I thought this isn't normal. This is not a child. But really, if you have a very high, strong dog and it needs a lot of attention and training, your mommy, you know, your mommy. So
yeah,
that's what it is.
So
that's
they're so sensitive at that age. But you know, when they grow a little bit older and they kind of realize all those things about urinating and all that, they're so smart. And but I know the first part is so hard. Like you say, it's just like mom.
Oh, the biggest part with this German Shepherd is that she's totally trained to go outside and go potty and everything, but the biggest thing is the biting and the lounging. It's the other day we were going to, well, every time we take her for a walk, people who walk next to us, they always they almost seem to get off track, like they're gonna fall off their feet. They look terrified. I'm not kidding. And we don't, we're training her. We have a really good leash. We have whatever it is. What is it, Mr. Man? Do you know what the leash is? I'll have to let you guys know. For anybody who has a dog, you don't want that dog. It's a dangerous dog. You don't want it to get loose. We have a good leash that, if she tries, she would choke herself. So she's not going to go anywhere. But, it's a lot of work. I'm getting very strong. I've got muscles. I'm still doing the radio show. I told Mr. Man, we got to get back on the radio. This is awesome, though, having a dog.
But thank you so much. Really appreciate your support. And thanks for previewing those two songs. It sounded awesome, our system. Wow.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thank you.
I told Mr. Matt, we are not going to stop living because we have a baby. Like, life life always goes on. And like you guys saw, like I said, in 2020, sometimes we need to slow down and sometimes we need to reflect. And like you said, it took 3 years for this particular CD to come to fruition. Sometimes you need to take a step back and say, you know, I need, if, like, for example, with you guys, you know, losing loved ones during this time, you have to do what you have to do to feel good. And for us, as a family, was getting a dog. We enjoy having a big dog, a good family dog, a protector dog, and we hadn't had that. We sort of let it go. And, I think that we paid a bit of a price for doing that, and I'm just so glad that we're back in track. You know how it feels when you get family back on track and everything feels good again?
Yeah.
And now yeah. It's like after 2020, and you guys went through a lot of stuff with musically. It's a struggle. People don't realize that musicians really do struggle, and you have all of this passion inside of you and you want to share with the world, and sometimes people may not give you attention or, you know, the credit that you deserve for the lyrics and the music that you write. But you know, when they do realize that there's moments in time that they have nothing and they're empty inside, or sometimes you're empty in your heart, sometimes you're empty in your mind, sometimes you feel like your soul is even empty. So the only thing a person can do, and I know you've been there, some of you that are listening to me tonight, and you say to yourself, I turn on the computer and I don't know what to look for. I look at YouTube, I have no idea what to search for. I want to see a movie, but I don't know what I need. I am yearning, I am empty, I am soulless. And the only thing that can fill your soul is music. And I tell you guys, when you're down, even a sad song, you will listen to it. It'll make you cry. How often do you feel like crap and say, no, I don't want to listen to nothing? No, you'll turn on the radio. You'll get in that car. You'll start driving. So why don't you go ahead and get Paul Thomas and Bobby Moon CD right now, Spellbound Band. Because you know you're going to play it when you're feeling good, when you're feeling down, when you're feeling all the way around. This is the best music, you guys. So tell me some more. We listen to these two songs while we're having, we just crack open a beer and we're listening to this stuff. And it's so good. I was telling Mr. Man, the fourth song on the track sounds so much like a 70s show. Why? It sounds like a 70s, like it should be on a show. Like I see, did you guys see that? What is it? Tell
yeah,
me
we
your
were,
secret.
I guess we were really influenced by the music of the 70s because a lot of people have said that. That really creeps into our songwriting and our influences. And, you know, we just love that singer-songwriter school from the 70s. And I guess that's the time that we grew up as not kind of preteens. And so that music really got absorbed into our minds. As we said, we met basically because we're music fans, and believe it or not, I've been listening to music, I mean, ever since I can remember. For some reason or another, I was just one of those kids that really just loved music. And so, you know, growing up in the 70s, that music really became deep into our souls. Like you say, Michael Jackson, like Steely Dan, like Jackson Brown, the Eagles, all those singer-songwriter influences of the 70s. And, you know, we wanted to just have good songs with good melodies and good – and that with, you know, with that feel, like you said, that just comes from the cultural influences of Los Angeles.
You know, you guys know that I grew up in Jersey and, you know, went to New York City quite a few times. And I remember in the 70s just listening, and even in Minnesota, when I moved to Minnesota, down in Minneapolis and St. Paul, going out to all of these type of hippie type festivals back in the 70s and the 80s, you know, very early 80s. Music was different then. It just seems to me like you guys have stayed true to that, whatever that is, and actually have evolved it. I feel like music that you see on television, or you might hear it on the radio. In fact, I don't listen to regular radio, and I don't watch regular television. I only watch people that I want to watch, and I listen to people like yourselves. So I'm very selective in the things that I listen to, the music that I listen to, the films that I watch, the things that I consume for my life, because I find that I feel like my life is precious. And if you don't think of your life as precious and you're just going to consume whatever is out there, then you're going to dish out. And I was finding that I was consuming a lot of negativity, and then I was not feeling good about myself. So when I love something, I love a musician, I love a movie, I love something, I just can't help but share it with the world, share it with people, and let people know, hey, there's something better. And the funny thing is, the other day, someone was telling me, do you realize that it seems to me, person was saying, I was having a drink, a happy hour, and I was approached by someone, and they were saying, doesn't it seem like Hollywood is dead? Ever since Weinstein and Epstein, I can't keep the name straight, you guys. But ever since, like, a lot of these people have been removed from these high positions, it seems like the music, if you watch, like, the Music Awards, I did not watch it, and we're not putting down anybody. It seems to me that a lot of what I don't watch TV, I don't really consume this stuff, it's just hearsay, the things that I'm hearing people say. Most of the people that I talk to are like myself. They do not watch television, and they love the fact that I do radio. They say, give me your card. I want to see what you do. I want to hear you. I would love to listen to anything else but what is, you know, out there today. Do you guys find that is, I don't know, because I'm not in California, but since I've stopped watching TV, I have no idea what is up with talent and movies and Hollywood. Is it dead? Is the music dead? Is what's going on?
Well, I would say definitely you hit on some really good points, Marta. Definitely Hollywood has taken a serious blow to its credibility and the hold that it's had over people, which I think is a really good thing. I think it's a healthy thing. I think it had way too strong of an influence over everybody. It wasn't leading us in a great direction anyway. So I think that the fact that it's getting exposed, a lot of the corruption underneath, and that it's taken a blow, I think it's cool. A good thing. And it's benefited us as well. I mean, people are now willing to listen to, and they're willing to listen now to outside sources because they don't trust mainstream anymore, which is a good thing because it can't be trusted. So I think it's really great. People are starting to open up their ears to different avenues, different opinions, different media. I think it's a really good thing.
You know, I do too. Some of my friends have asked, you know, and I get a lot of messages, why aren't you on Facebook anymore? And I just find that sometimes being on social media and not into your skills and your task and the things that you really want to do can be detrimental. I think it's great to use social media to promote yourself, to do what you want to do and share good things. But oftentimes, and if you don't have anything, I mean, if that's what you want to do is just really share politics and negativity, you know, and I was doing that. You guys know that everything that bothered me was I was out there like, oh, this bothers me, that bothers me, that person bothers me. Now I'm just like, you know what? Nothing really bothers me, because when you live your life in a certain way, politicians can make laws and they can say, we want this done and we want that done. But I lived in Cuba for 10 years under communism. And I'm, you know, I feel like the last 20 years I've been so afraid in the U.S. I feel like I've had some form of a freedom PTSD, like I'm afraid they're going to take it away. And when I have had, you know, you guys know I started radio in 2009 when there was hardly, there was no women, barely any women in Blog Talk Radio. And I really enjoyed talking with people, and I didn't even know how to get the message. Social media, I was new to it. I don't even think you guys contacted me, and I believe I didn't even see the message, or you sent me something. And you guys know how horrible has it been when social media is like this big boom, right? And now all of a sudden, everyone out there, if you do films, if you're a YouTuber, if you do music, you can share your talent. And there's no reason to sit on social media and just regurgitate, is what I'm saying, just nothing, and be absolutely of no good use to anyone. When, if you have a skill, I've seen a lot of my friends, and I've encouraged them, hey, do some videos on, you know, the playing the ukulele. It doesn't matter if you're good at it or not. It just matters that you enjoy it. Whatever it is that you guys want to do out there, go for it and do it. And then at the same time, if you see other people that are talented and you enjoy what they're doing, share it as well. It doesn't cost you anything. Nobody's asking you for donations. Although we could, but we're not. So go ahead and share the music. Go ahead and share the books. By the way, you guys, I have some amazing guests coming up in the next few months. I can't wait. I cannot wait to share them with you. Books, all kinds of things. Cubanorama, they're helping me with the marketing, you guys. And I had no idea what I was doing. And now, I have to give her a shout out, Miss Frankie Jones. She stopped in the office today. Frankie X Jones, IEJones.com. Check her out. This girl is amazing with all of the marketing and all of the videos and everything that she has put together. So I'm just showing up to the office now and making sure that everything is running smooth, right, Mr. Man? Mm-hmm. Let's hear some more music. I can't wait to hear a couple of songs, and let's come back and talk a little bit more about Hollywood. I don't want to say necessarily the downfall, because I believe that, like you guys said, for everything that is negative, there's always going to be a positive. It's just how you look at it. But so for Hollywood, all of these negative things have been happening, and that has been actually helping musicians like yourselves, artists like yourselves. I absolutely love to see filmmakers that are independent, that are putting films out there, and oh, we're always scouting for that kind of thing. It's just amazing to find how much talent is out there. You do not have to go to an organized, it just seems to me like, doesn't it seem to you guys that Hollywood was a monopoly? I want to say, that was the word that I was trying to look for. It just seemed to me like the monopoly on wealth, the monopoly on where everybody was sort of like squished down or stepped on, or, you know, I often heard people saying, if you didn't please someone who was, you know, up there, you'll never work in this town again. I mean, that kind of thing. You know, when people were blacklisted and they were actually good actors or great singers, you know, back in the day when there was racism and prejudice towards black people, black musicians. I mean, this kind of crap has been happening for hundreds of years. It's just sort of, I feel like in a way, even though it's really sad what has happened, it's come to like, you know, almost like James Dean hitting the wall, right? Doesn't it feel like that? Like,
yeah.
History has come so fast, and we have had so much racism, so much, you know, everything on television, everything they want to tell you, they want to feed you, and all of the stress and the wars and this and that, and, you know, bombs in New York and, you know, 9/11, and the people just have to sort of step back and say, am I going to sit in front of the TV? You guys remember, wasn't it a movie back in the 60s where they said, we're not going to take it anymore? And they threw the televisions out the window. Remember?
Right. Network.
That's what it was. Network.
Yeah, network. Yeah. It was a
great film. Yeah, great film. So I love that. I love it because now we can choose what we want to consume. Isn't that the greatest freedom of all? When we feel the biggest fear that freedom is going to be taken away, guess what? We have you guys, underground music. I love it. I love it.
We agree.
Oh, and it's the best because no one has offered you guys millions of dollars to do what you do. No one. And here you do it because you have the passion. No one has offered you millions of dollars to write a song to support a specific environmental or anything.
Right.
You guys
the bad part of it is that there is $1 million but that we have. But the good news is because we don't have $1 million, there's no one that lends us that money to hold that power over us to tell us, hey, do this or do that. Because nothing's for free.
That's right. So isn't that the greatest freedom to have?
It is.
So it doesn't matter if, when someone thinks that success and the ultimate goal is to have that, to become that billionaire, sometimes if you had the $1 billion, maybe your hands and feet are tied. Who'd want to be tied? And then you would be sunken down in the ocean. No, we do it our way.
Right.
Yeah. So let's.
We agree. We feel the same way.
Absolutely. This is why Working Alone was such a great hit, in that in you guys' CD. You've got to start giving people have to start feeling strong and feeling good about themselves and not giving their power away and just saying, well, there's nothing else on TV, so I'll just watch this. No, baby. You can choose whatever you want. So let's go ahead and listen to some music because you guys are, you have so much. How many more songs in this CD? There's like
a lot. 10? But hey, we could play song number 8, which is Something About Hollywood, just because we've been talking about that.
Aha.
Same subject. That's a Bobby song. It's about the influence of Hollywood that, can help hold against, have
just,
on you.
Yeah, just what we were talking about. That's,
yeah.
Just what we're talking
Perfect.
About.
Perfect. Great segue. Let's go there. Hollywood.
Underneath the surface, from a distance, so shiny and pretty.
pretty interesting. It you know, as I was listening to it, just closing my eyes, it felt like I was in a rainforest, and I like the monkeys are imitating each other, and I'm like, oh, Hollywood. I don't know. Something about Hollywood. Everybody will get a different, you know, like you, this is what I love about music and why in the 70s I so enjoyed music in out east when you used to watch. Remember, I don't know if California was the same, when people used to literally dance to the music. And I don't know, maybe they were that hippie type that I remember dancing like they were looking up at the sky and really enjoying the music. Today, I don't see women enjoying the music the same way. I see a lot of twerking going on. Don't you, Mr. Man? Like, I see a lot of, you know, I don't see Kenny G. I see, no, other Gs. I don't know. I don't know the lingo. But you guys know what I mean. Like, the music right. is just not the same, and people don't enjoy it the same way. This is why I think that the music that is produced, that where, you know, where you see women and men, it almost seems pornographic. And I, you know, I'm to each his own, but it doesn't seem to me like music, you know. And they used to say Elvis Presley was naughty. Right? Doesn't it?
Maybe have we become more desensitized to it? I don't know. Maybe not.
Yeah.
Because like you said, Elvis was considered racy, almost
yeah.
too suggestive, and that
right.
now we look at it and it's tame. It's tame. Well, look at the situation. I mean, when we were kids, even pornography. I mean, you know. You couldn't get it, or like if you did, it was rare too. But now it's available.
Now every kid knows
about
the hardest
it.
Thing.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
that's
like,
something different.
And that's something I don't know when I was young that I had to like get initiated into or grow into, or like I don't know if it's something that you wanted like search out and discover.
Things weren't so available instantly to digest.
Yeah.
So
right. Yeah. You know, I don't know what boys did, but just from the movies I've seen, I'd see the little boys just stealing magazines, and now they just go on their phones, you know. And
yeah, I guess so.
And it's really – and I remember back in the day when, you know, they used to say that if there was a couple in bed, there was, you know, one of them had to have a leg on the floor. Stepping on the floor. have to watch some black and white films to see that, you know. But it's like, and now you see, you know, you see, you came in like a wrecking ball. And oh, my God. These girls are getting slapped in the butt like wham.
Yeah.
And it's on TV, and they don't care. I mean, some, they're married. They've got children. Oh, I saw J-Lo. You guys, J-Lo got slapped by Pitbull.
Wow.
I saw it. I was like, what is this, Grandma J-Lo? Stop it.
Wow.
She's sexy and all that, but come on, Pitbull, don't do that. He goes back it up like a Tonka truck. And then he slapped her. You guys.
Oh.
I'm telling you, I know. See, I shocked you, didn't I?
Well, there you go. See, that's what things have changed so much. It's shocking to watch, for me to watch TV. I don't really see regular TV, but I go to Bobby's once in a while and he's got it on. I can't believe it. Some of the stuff on TV is stuff that you would have, it would be PG or R-rated. I mean, when I was a kid, so it's amazing.
Oh, I you know, and I think people can do such great jobs. I mean, J-Lo has such great influence for Latinas, for anyone, you know, because she's bilingual as well. So imagine that she came up as the Selena, did the Selena film, but now she gets, it's like, no, J-Lo. You know,
yeah.
What, you guys,
well, then-
I find... let me just say something. What I find is that today women work so hard to not be looked at as sex objects, right? And this is what I love about your music. You guys, you feature ladies in your... I've never seen anything indecent. I've never seen you guys treating women less than. You've always treated me as an equal. I just freaking love this relationship. I love working with men who really appreciate women and don't look at women as, you know, just something to be slapped.
Right. No. Like you said, sometimes when you get handed $1 million, you know, to do something, then you got to represent
yeah.
that $1 million.
Oh,
and, you know, maybe you go towards exploitation because you need to get the money back because it's like gambling. And, you know, you need
wow.
to fill that space that you are borrowed. And so you go for the numbers and you want to get people's attention. It's not
yeah.
really
for
me. We're just saying, but it's, you know, and so it's been proven, you know, by society and through by this day and age, the exploitation, certain things will get certain people's attention. It's not for the good. It doesn't benefit humankind. But if we want
right.
attention and numbers and someone just to check it out because it's so crazy and because
yeah.
a woman gets slapped or exploited, and it's like, you know, then I guess that's the cycle of, you know, of like media and commercialism and, you know, trying to get the numbers and exploiting.
Yeah.
And so if you go back to, like, more artists, you know, which, you know, because every artist wants money. But if
yes.
you know, you evolve to a stage where, like, that becomes a little bit more secondary and your art becomes more focal or focused.
Right.
And that's also, you know, comes from something outside yourself as well, but do those influences. But then,
right.
You know, but I don't know, maybe just to fill those numbers, to get the money back, to get the people's attention, exploitation works. Degradation works,
yeah.
pornography works, you know, because it's been proven. And,
well, I don't know if I agree with Bobby, but that's what the mainstream, they like to push that idea. They definitely push that, and you would think with all that money that you could
yeah.
get a better message across than slapping J-Lo's ass.
Right,
you know?
Right. Seriously. That's exactly what I thought. It's, wow, is this a message that
because
we want to
send? Because it doesn't
come
by chance. There's people with suits in boardrooms talking about slapping that ass.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the sad thing.
And so, you know, exactly how, what
so
the numbers
naive.
Will bring in and whose ass that should be slapped and, you know, all that.
Wow.
Even how hard it should be slapped.
Oh, my
so
God.
It's not a great message. It's just part
yeah.
of the mainstream.
And probably even her expression on her face, whether she liked it or not. I mean, come on, J-Lo. Act like you like it. Right? Because she did.
Yeah,
I mean,
she's going to pay for it.
Holy cow.
You know,
I just
and she
know.
Gets paid well. I haven't seen that one, but wow. I haven't seen that one.
I'm going to tell you guys a little story, and then we'll go ahead and listen to some music. But I was actually camping with my daughter a couple of years ago, and there's this guy that went by, and he thought it was going to be cute. He slapped me. He slapped my ass. And caught me by surprise because, you guys, you know, I'm not 20. I'm like, what the? And I was with, okay, that's exactly what I did. I was with like 3-4 other ladies, and I'm like, he didn't just do that, did he? And this lady, and
yeah.
they're older women, and they're all like, yeah, he did. And I swear to God, my heartbeat started going 1, 2. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4. I don't even know, you guys. It went to like a freaking million, like in a heartbeat. And then my eyes went crossed. And then I thought, I'm going to kill him. And then I thought, somebody get me a knife. Somebody get me a gun. Somebody get me something. I'm going to kill the mother. And I went after him. And I told him, I said, you did?
Oh,
what did you do?
Latina.
I said, what did you do? What did you do? And I said, what you did is, I said, don't you ever get it twisted. And you know what? The rest of the time, I wore a big knife that went from my hip all the way down to my knee. And you know, this guy came up to me 3-4 times. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And I said, every time he came to me, I said, get away from me. You're making me remember. I said, get away from me. You're making me remember. Get away. And I would be touching my knife and he would get away from me. And then at one time he came back to me and he said, I want to bring you a beer because I just want to make good.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
I was camping with some bikers.
Right. Okay.
And I'm going to tell you, I don't play games. If I don't want you to touch me, you ain't going to touch me, baby. You ain't going to touch me because my heartbeat is going to tell me to kick your, you know what. So with that being said, you know, you can't mess with Kuvana because, you know.
Oh, no.
Okay. No. What are we going to listen to, you guys?
Well, I
appreciate
boom,
boom, boom.
That's so great that you said you appreciate that we're always gentlemen. And Bobby and I, we're always gentlemen. We treat women well. The reason we do is because we both run across women just like Marta Sosa.
Ooh. You can't mess with Mother Nature.
No.
I love you guys. You know, I absolutely, I'm a hugger. I'm a lover. I don't like it when guys feel me up. I just don't freaking like that shit. But if they give me a great hug and a kiss on the cheek, man, I love it.
Yeah.
Be
right.
Normal.
Yeah.
Be normal. You don't
that
have
compassion.
To feel up, girl.
Not lovable.
You know?
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Seriously, we agree with you, and got to treat women well. Definitely, they deserve it. We never cross the line, especially when it comes to music. I mean, we're so serious about it. And the women we work with, some of them, they're really attractive. Some of the women, but when it's music, we work on music, and we've never ever crossed the line when it comes to that stuff. Never.
Well, I know you guys have your biggest passion is in music, and you also have passion for respecting people and respecting life, and that is what I love about, you know, a mind that's like, you know. This is what makes me hopeful for the world, that there's men like you, because I know that you influence other men just by being who you are, just by going out every day and doing what you do. I know younger men and even older men are looking at how you do it, and they're taking note, because nowadays, like we've talked about, there is really no one to look up to. I do a lot of conversations, and, you know, young people tell me, we don't have grandmothers. We don't have community leaders. You know, we don't have barber shops like they used to. You know, the black community has it, where the young boys and the Latinos are very much into the barber shop. As you know, getting their hair done, the boys would listen to stories, wisdom, you know, war stories from other men and things like that. But today, where do young people go for, you know, inspiration of anything wonderful and good when everything is negative and everything is pornography and everything is, you know, let's use this person to their to the fullest, and when, you know, you squeeze the living, you know, blood out of them, then go to the next. And so it is amazing to have the kind of musicians that you are, with the ethics and the morals that you have, and then on top of it, you produce the kind of work that you do. This is freaking, it's just like, I love it. I am so proud of having the guests that I do, you guys. I really am. I have always said it from day one. I have always had the best people on my show. And it's not just because, you know, I have you guys, and like you guys, you do what you want to do. Nobody's giving you $1 million. Nobody's giving me $1 million to have them on the show. They don't have to, because I would have them even for no money. So there, let's listen to some more music. Hello.
Wow. What do you want?
I'm speechless. Well,
yeah, thank you.
First off, just thank you.
We love that show so much. And I remember you got many years ago, you got Dane Wigington. He's one of the greatest environmental activists. And you told me, he said he'll give me 15 minutes, but I know once he gets talking, he'll be there for the whole 2 hours. And you were exactly right. The guy loved your show. He stayed on for 2 hours. And you were you're so charming that everybody loves you.
Oh, yeah.
You're just a great host. Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I mean, you're so engaging. And
you guys are sweet.
The best as an interviewer, because you open up the guests. Yeah. And, you know, we want to talk to you. So I guess that's a talent, and we're thankful for that.
You know,
I always want
the guest to have time to express themselves. And I've always said this, when people in America say, "Hi, how are you?" they really don't want to hear you. They don't want to hear how you're doing. They want to hear, "I'm fine, thank you, and you." And I want to hear a whole story. I want to sit and have coffee, maybe a warm chili with garlic, whatever, you know, and then I want to learn something and end up with a big hug, and I'll see you, you know, next week or maybe next time, whatever. But I want to feel warm. I don't want to meet people and just feel like empty. Like I learned nothing. And why even have a radio show if you're going to have guests and really not get into what they're doing, not into their mind and their feelings and, you know, like their family. So when they talk about their pain or whatever it is, if you don't feel empathy, then I feel like you're in the wrong kind of business. Huh?
Right. Yes.
You
right.
know, that's me. But anyway,
right.
let's listen to some music, music, music. What
right.
do we listen to?
How about
to
track
first?
Number 7, Northern Star? And,
oh, that's a good one. Yeah,
that's a good
maybe
one.
Maybe dance to that. That's a nice upbeat one.
Oh, that's sweet. That reminds me there was a 70s song. I think it was by the Stylistics. It was called, what's that, Darling, You Are... Oh, no, no, it's Shining Star. But this one is Northern Star. Is it me? Am I the Northern Star? I'm
you
kidding.
Are.
Go ahead. Oh, I love you. That instrument at the end, that is beautiful.
Yeah, that's Paul's Rickenbacker 12-string guitar that has that jingly, tingly sound. And like Northern Star is a star that, you know, is guides you home. Soul music is like the root of our heart and our soul that guides us home every time. So we just kind of combined it. Northern Soul, Northern Star, our tribute to soul music.
Wow. I love the instruments. It seems to me that you use different instruments for different songs, and sometimes you don't use all of the instruments all of the time. How do you choose? How do you pick and choose? Because every song is almost it feels to me like a different, you know, I want to say a multicolor coat. Like every single song has a different color. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Nice. I think, that's sort of accurate to where we're coming from. Yeah, we do have that. And because we're not like a traditional band, because it's Bobby and I, and we play a lot of instruments ourselves, but then we also have different people that come in and they all add their own flavors and their textures. And so, It sort of comes off that every song does have different instruments, and we pick them according to the style of the song. So depending on the style, we sort of think, and then we put on our producer's hats and sort of decide what's going to be the instrumentation, what does it need to get the feel across, or the vibe, or the colors that we want, and we put them in from there.
Yeah, and we're so fortunate to have our own studio here, Tripsville Studio, where we can not only record and produce and create the music that we that's us, but we are also able to collect as collectors because we have the space. And like you said, we bring out different elements, not every instrument at every time. We have two acoustic pianos here at the studio, a Steinway and a Yamaha, one's upright, one's more of a grand. We have a B3 organ with a Leslie. We have like four or five different kinds of synthesizers. We have a Mellotron. We have violins, mandolins, all sorts of different kinds of guitars. Like I had mentioned, 12-string Rickenbacker on that particular song. We have six-string guitars as well, of course, not just 12, but acoustic guitars, different kinds of mics. You know, just the list goes on, and especially percussionists.
Yeah,
we have a lot of percussion. And like, you can't ever stop collecting percussion because, you know, no two cowbells sounds the same, et cetera. But
I love cowbells.
We have a large collection, And like, you know, we even sent you that bamboo flute, that Paul grew at his home. We cut some of when we're doing the trimmings. And instead of throwing it away, we were interested in, hey, does this make a sound? And each reed that we cut off made a note, a different note. So we had to collect, like, you know, 12 different reeds for 12 different notes at various times. And so, you know, like collecting stuff like that and using that one note for a particular song that needs that one note, et cetera, we're able to do that. So thank you for noticing that.
Oh, my gosh. It's absolutely, you can tell that every song is like it, and it fits. It's almost like a dress. It fits perfect for the occasion. It's like that is just the right, like at the end of this song, you can tell, you know, the musical instrument was a little bit different. It wasn't a piano. It didn't sound to me like a regular guitar. But what did you say it was? What kind of a guitar? A 4-string?
Well, that one, it's a 12-string. It's called a Rickenbacker guitar. And they're a famous company. It has a jangly kind of sound. the Beatles first made it famous in the mid-60s.
Wow.
They were endorsing it, and that's where people first heard it. And
in the 12-string sound that Paul, you heard the jingling, became famous in the 60s by a group called the Byrds.
The Byrds
used it a lot. They're an LA band here.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're a big influence.
Wow.
But they use the 12-string, and they're known for the jingly sound that 12-string produces.
Yeah, it's very evocative, that sound.
Yeah, that's really cool and really interesting. I'm sure I have heard of the Byrds. Growing up in Jersey, there was a lot of American music in the 70s. There was a lot of disco, but there was a lot of just your regular, slow rock and roll. It seemed to me that music back then was, like the music of Jim Croce and, a lot of those. I was watching a documentary and all those guys that got killed on an airplane last night. Oh, my God. I was up until like 6 in the morning watching documentaries of, dead musicians. And so sad. I don't know why. It was recommended. It was nothing's going to happen, you guys. but it was really like I started thinking back about the music that I grew up with, because as if you guys were born in the U.S. you guys had 10 years of a leg up on me of the music that you heard when you were 2, when you were 3, when you were 4, 5, 6, all the way up to 10. For me, I heard from 0 to 10, I was listening to more tangos and, Spanish music from Spain and a lot of, old Mexican music, which is completely different than Mexican music today. A lot of music from Argentina. I mean, my musical background is very, very, very diverse. Because my dad listened to everything. So at the same time, then when I moved to the U.S. and I started listening to music in the 70s, in the 70s, there was just a little remnant of the 60s on the radio. So unless you bought a 45 or you were watching the movies or shows on TV like Happy Days, that they would play, songs like from the 60s, then you would get a flavor for it. That's how I learned about, the 60s music was through a lot of the shows on television. And then as I grew older, I started going out and listening to live music. And then you really see the flavor of New York City, the jazz bands, the big bands. Moving to Minnesota, there's a lot of jazz in Minnesota, by the way. They play a lot of jazz in St. Paul. They even have a jazz festival in the summer. So there's a lot of music. Minneapolis is really a mecca. I would say, and I've always said this, a lot of people think Minneapolis is just a tiny place, but I would say Minneapolis is like little New York. It's the Minneapolis. Is Minneapolis, and we have we have everything, baby, everything, and better because it's small. Why do you think Prince lived here? You know where you guys need to come and move to.
Yes, there's a lot of funk in Minneapolis. We know.
Oh,
a lot of good music
there. A lot of music, a lot of art, a lot of there's a lot of flavor in the city, and it's getting bigger and bigger and better and better. Sadly enough, we were in the news all over the world because, as you guys know, what happened with George Floyd, and that happened not too far away from where I live. And, it's really sad. But again, I think that as a country and as really as a universe, we're all sort of – it almost seems, and some of the younger people that I talk to today are telling me this, they're saying, you know what, it just seems to us like corruption is being shaken down. like shake it, shake it, shake it, baby, right? And so all of these corrupt people, I mean, you guys heard in the news that the Prince of Wales, I don't know, one of the prince, whatever, Prince Tom, whatever, Thomas Harry, not Harry, I don't want to say Harry, it's not Harry, but one of those old ones, wasn't it Lady Diana's brother-in-law, one of those guys, one of those old farts, he's going down for, you know, I guess going to that little island with Clinton and Whipstein, whatever. There's all this shakedown and all this stuff going on, and we see it in the media. We see it in the way people are living their lives. You know, a lot of people are quitting their jobs. They don't want to take the vaccine. Cops are quitting their jobs. Nurses and doctors are quitting their jobs. And it's everything is completely different. And I feel, in a way, this is almost like the best time. Anyone in the world who wants to reinvent themselves and they don't want to work for the man, to really figure out what your talent is and go for it. And make a living out of it. So many people do YouTube videos of, you know, sewing or painting or fixing things. And just start. Like you guys say, it took how many years have you guys been in the business? It wasn't just 3 years for you to collect all of what it seems to me like a candy store of music instruments. It doesn't happen overnight. It takes time to collect all of these things and to even to learn and to grow as a human being, and not to get too cocky. That's the one thing that I love about you guys. You guys don't have an ego. I just realized this. You guys are freaking amazing. You guys are like nothing I've ever had on my show before. Let's play some music because they're going to think you guys paid me $1 million to say all this.
Well, thank you so much. Thanks, Marta. Yeah, wow.
It's the truth, really the truth.
And we know you don't get paid for doing all that you do also. You do it because you care and all the love you put into it. And it's just it's so great that there are people like you out there also. You're ambassador. You're the ambassador for us, for our music, and for so many other artists and people, creative people that might not have a voice somewhere else. So you're so greatly appreciated.
And like you said, over so many years, we've been able to accumulate not only the instruments, but the influences and all the songs that we love. And just the reason I say that is because the next track we play, track number 3, Heaven Must Be Like This, is a track that we grew up listening to by the band Ohio Players. And we were grateful enough to be in a situation where we have the studio, the talent, and the abilities and the resources to be able to say thank you and produce, you know, do our version of the songs we love. Hey, this is something we listen to. This is, you know, here's our take on it. And we get a chance to do that. We're really grateful for something like that.
Sounds great. Let's play it, Mr. Man. We'll be right back, guys.
Must be like
Ooh, it is so smooth. Just like it's bluesy. It reminded me so much of, you know, I closed my eyes and I was taken back to another time, like always. And I was wearing a silk black halter jumpsuit, which I actually owned. And I was dancing a slow song on the dance floor at Scotty's on 7th in Minneapolis when it was back in the 70s. And I was listening to you guys. It was no different.
Wow.
Oh, my God. By the way, Scotty's on 7th, if you guys know anything about Scotty's on 7th, it was a three-story 1920s theater. And it was the most beautiful historical building in all of downtown Minneapolis. They destroyed it. They took it down to put, you know, malls, whatever, the Skyway. But back in the 70s, we used to go dancing at Scotty's on 7th, on 7th Street, right downtown Minneapolis. You guys should Google it up and look at, see if they have any images of it on Google. Oh, my God. There was a head at the top of the building that was like a big, it was just a big face. And every time I would go, and it was an Art Deco, by the way, Art Deco door. And the menu was all Art Deco. Oh, it's just beautiful. I still have the menu, by the way. I'll have to scan it and send you guys a copy of this place because it was the hottest place to go. And back in the day, they used to have these dance, it was these dance teachers. What was it? Do you remember that dance?
Arthur and Murray's
dance studio. I don't know if they have it down in California, but in Minneapolis,
yes.
They
Murray.
Do? Okay. Well, Arthur and Murray's
Murray,
used
yes.
to,
I've seen it.
Okay. They
yes.
always did dance contests at Scotty's on 7th, and I always joined them when I moved to Minneapolis. I never won first place. I'd come in second, but I loved it, and it wasn't even about winning. It was just about doing it. But so when I hear it, you guys, I'm not kidding. It took me back to, oh, my Lord. I could see, you know, the most beautiful thing was those straw lights. I don't know. They call it straw lights. I always say it wrong. Strobe. Strobe lights. Those disco lights. Is that what they
strobe.
Call it? The disco.
Yeah.
Isn't that the best when you're listening to music? And you know what I love? It was the smoke. When they used to let all that steam up and all that smoke and everything was just smoky and beautiful. You guys, the 70s was just such a trip, wasn't it?
We're too young to remember, but...
Oh! You mother, no.
No,
remember,
oh. Of course.
Okay, well, I just...
We know. For sure.
You've seen the movies, come on.
We know, and yeah, 70s culture, that was
wasn't
that was
it
a
like
big deal.
Being... Well, don't they still... Didn't they keep that going for generations up in California, or is that just the 70s?
Yeah. And about, yeah, it still has a revival every couple of years, you know, that style. So I know
you
what mean.
The,
that sounds like
the
a lot
clubs,
of fun.
The clubs will have all that steam and all that jazz, and they'll do that in California?
Yeah,
they still
the
do it.
Theme. Yeah, now it's 70s, 80s, 90s theme.
They have
you
different
know.
Themes. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe even they'll have a 2000 theme tune by this time.
Yeah, right. 2000 next.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. Oh, that is so cool. I don't know what kind of themes they do now. You know, I don't really see a lot of, like, you know, like what we had back in the day. Like, the 80s was really a theme. The 70s was really a theme. I don't know what happened to the 90s. I don't know what happened to the 90s and the year 2000. I don't know. Where have I been? What happened? Can you explain
it? Recently,
like musically?
Well, yeah. I think the music has become more, as I had mentioned earlier, for grabbing of the attention, more about like quote-unquote bling, and maybe not so much about music, but, hey, look at me. Look, you know, I don't know. I think just the art of all that, just trying to get to people's attention, marketing and, like them following what the media is telling them as well, you know, what they believe in, and that money is the answer, like the outside, like instead of saying, like you had mentioned, instead of looking inside, and, you know, less of things, material instead of more, you know, which is their lesson, which is exactly opposite of what really all the, you know, like the truthful philosophies and like the spiritual books say, you know,
right.
And everyone for these days. So that's, you know, getting lost, and people get, you know, following that trend instead of their heart in the music, and especially the younger kids that don't know better.
Yes, that is sad. When kids, like you say, they don't know and they follow. I was watching this one guy this morning, talking about, you know, what girls had on in their bedrooms, you know, when they were 13 to 19 back in the day. You know, it's like David Cassidy, and who did we find attractive, and, you know, what sort of things did society get into. And when you look at society today, it's like it's the girls and the boys. I mean, everybody seems to be just, you know, and as you said, the COVID-19 thing, really, when it hit, it seems like a lot of children stopped being children completely.
No
longer.
I feel sorry for them.
Yes, and I do too. You know, schools in America, I'm saddened for the education system in America. I see Asian children, you know, and many other cultures getting a leg up. If you notice who is getting hired, I mean, Americans really need to think and stop consuming just for the sake of being a consumer. And when you buy something, you know, and I used to think, oh, these people are picky. Oh, these people are vegan. Oh, these, you know, I eat meat. I eat, you know, I do normal things like everybody. I just really, I am more conscious now about what I do, what I put in my body, even how I dress, the way that I clothe myself. Do I want plastic on me, or do I want a natural material? And, you know, it goes to so many different things that I want my life to be sustainable. I want the things that I have to last me for a long time. I don't want to buy a coat every 2 months or every season. If I have a fur coat and it bothers somebody, well, that's too bad. If I have a long leather coat and it bothers somebody, that's too bad. That's the way the hunters did it. That's the way humans have always done it. And, you know, I'm not ashamed of being warm when it's cold outside and not freezing to death, and not buying a polyester puffy coat. I'm going to give this company, you know, trillions and trillions of dollars and buy somebody a new house and a new boat and a new mansion, you know, because I'm consuming so much and I'm so, you know, animal conscious. I'm not going to buy an old used fur coat. Why not? It's good. You won't have to buy another coat until you die. Well, when you die, you won't need a coat. Right? So you guys see, what I'm saying? Just everything that I do today, all the way to the music, to the films, to whatever I am watching, I am always deciphering, what is this doing for me? And I think Americans and people as a whole, no matter where you are in the world, you should ask yourself what you're getting for your money. Is it making you happy? You know, is it making you happy? And if it isn't making you happy, then why are you supporting what you're supporting? Why not go elsewhere and choose your music? And it doesn't matter if your brother likes it or your mother likes it, you know, as long as you like it. It doesn't matter. You don't have to go with the flow. You don't have to appease anybody. I think that in our society today, it's really sad, but I hear, and I've watched a lot of YouTubers from California who tell a story that now everybody seems to be going back to the mask. And if you're not vaccinated, you cannot work. What's going on in California? Can you guys give us a little update?
I wish I had some good news, but it's really bad. It's I have to pinch myself every morning when I wake up. Am I still living in the same state that I grew up in? It's really sad. I feel the worst for the kids. Kids now in California, the latest thing I've been hearing, you got to have two shots. Or you can't even go to the school. If you haven't had the two shots, you got to get tested every day. If you're not fully vaccinated with two shots, you can't even go to school. I think it's just a
not
crime.
Only that, but
it's
you know, when you go to school in high school for 4 years, when I was a kid, when I graduated, we celebrated. You know, we threw our hats up, we hugged each other, we kissed, we shake. But you know, you can't do that 6 feet apart.
No.
Yeah. The kids are in masks, got to stay 6 feet apart. It's really sad. It's going backwards. It really is. We've got an insane governor who is just a tyrant. I know it's going on all over the country, but it's really bad. I wish I could share some good news.
And especially like, you know, for like even playing live acts, like for the COVID-19, it was really hard.
Yeah.
And, you know, fortunately, we were able to get a live show in for the release of our album. You know, as I said, the album's going to be released next week on October 1st, and we will have an album release to celebrate it, thank God, on October 9th, Saturday. I know that your show is worldwide, and for those of you in California, locally in Southern California, it'll be at the Hangar Inn, located at 1001 North Aviation Boulevard, Manhattan Beach. Zip code is 90266, and we'll be playing from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m., at the Hangar Inn to celebrate our new album on October 9th, if you're available.
Oh, how fun.
But were you lucky to have something like that?
Yes. Oh, that is so nice. So if you guys are around, just pay them a visit. Let them know you heard them on the show. And, share the link below or however you're listening. I am just so excited. I want people to realize that, again, you can pick and choose your joy. You no longer have to be sad. You don't have to look at all the negativity that is going on around the world. I tell you, it's really hard to step away from TV and to step away from the news and start choosing different things. But once you start doing it, you start feeling really, really powerful, and you feel alive. So should we go out with Feeling So Alive?
Sounds great, Marta. Thanks for having us.
All right. I love you guys. You guys have a wonderful evening everywhere around the world. Get the CD. Love you.
I kept on getting these low-down dirty blues. Sometimes temptations, frustrations, they come on far too strong. How do you deal with that?
In my life overwhelmed by all the chops and chips. Yeah.
was rescued by the saving hand of God. Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.